How's everybody doing this morning? Good this morning? Cool. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for that. Thank you, Neil. Thank you, WD6. Thank you, Bill, for allowing me the opportunity to come out and chat with you guys for a little bit. I do want to clarify something. I don't know if you heard our interview on Friday after or Thursday. I think it was Thursday. Yeah, Thursday. Had a chance to chat, and I had mentioned about when I was a little kid, about a house I set on fire when I was in third grade. And I heard Neil in the background say, "Man, I hope nobody was hurt." And nobody was hurt except for my behind. Okay, so there was somebody that was hurting that fire. After that right there, I go, you know, there was somebody that was hurting. That was me, by the way. So I just wanted to clarify that and go on record. But hey, listen, I am really, really excited to be here this morning because I get excited whenever we get a chance to encourage one another in the Lord. So that's my goal this morning, to make sure that we all leave here today, and myself included, more equipped in the Lord than when we got here this morning, because everything that I say to you actually applies to me as well. The Holy Spirit doesn't let me off the hook simply because I'm the guy that's actually bringing something to you this morning. So I'm right there with you, and I want to make sure that we see the needle of our faith move, because to see the needle of our faith move more quickly, more mature, that means we actually have to move as well. So my hope again is this morning that we all get an opportunity to get in motion, or get quicker in motion this morning. So that's my hope for this. I think everyone would agree with me right here when I tell you that we are living in some pretty crazy times right now, right? Whether you're north of the mighty Niagara or south of the mighty Niagara, we are certainly living in some really crazy times right now in every facet of life and society, no matter how many advances we see. There's an underpinning right now that says we're living in a pretty precarious time. There's absolutely no doubt about that right there. And it's not necessarily getting any better, by the way, right? We're living in a place and a time right now where seemingly all systems are go. Whatever you want, whatever you need, whatever you desire, it's all yours. It's your life, and you only live once. That's really where we're living right now. And by the way, all of those things are totally incorrect, by the way. But you would never know that by the society that we're living in right now. And with the proliferation of the internet and social media, which, by the way, is not slowing down whatsoever, we're subjected to images, to ideologies and philosophies that have nothing to do with objective truth, which means basically that whatever you want to be true, it's true because you just want it to be that, which, again, by the way, is totally incorrect. But I want to ask you this. Is that really the type of the world that you would want to live in? The type of the world then, what's true yesterday is not true tomorrow, not because we've discovered something that made it untrue, but simply because, well, I just want to believe something different, so let's call it truth, and it'll meet a new need that I have or meet a new desire I have. Is that really the type of world that you want to really be living in? Where the mention of God has gotten so watered down that now everybody believes that, oh, we're all talking about the exact same God. Don't worry about it. Well, don't worry about it, because there are millions of ways that we can all get to God. And while mentioning the word God, the name God, has been so neutral, man, you mention the name Jesus Christ, man, you have just started World War III. And that's the society that we're living in right now. We're seeing where Christians and the Christian worldview has been under attack everywhere in the world. You pick the continent, you pick the culture, and we continue to see higher and higher degrees of Christian persecution. It may start subtle, but it is ramping up almost everywhere we go now. So what does that mean for you and me as believers in Christ? What does that mean for how we now navigate all of this? Because here's what you hear. Your Christian faith, it just doesn't let me do whatever I want to do. Your Christian faith is way too exclusive, when the truth of the matter is, Jesus died for everybody. So that's inclusive of everybody, but that's not what you would hear. You hear that your faith just needs to be way more tolerant of everything. Or you even go on to hear this, that your Jesus just isn't relevant anymore. So what does that mean for you? What does that mean for me as we try to live out our Christian faith? Most of you have probably heard this song before. As I look around, I see the age of people. Most of you have probably heard that song by The Clash, "Should I Stay or Should I Go," right? While that song wasn't necessarily talking about a relationship with Christ, it was talking about a relationship. And one of the individuals saying, "Should I stay or should I go?" But with the onslaught of the persecution that we're beginning to see in this society against Christians, I believe that there are many Christians that are saying that same thing to themselves right now. Should I stay or should I go? And right about now, you're probably asking yourself, okay, you brought this guy north of the border. This is really encouraging, Leroy. I'm getting there, and there's a passage of scripture that I want to do share with you guys to help us really better understand where we might be able to go from here. So given the sign of times that we're living in right now, the passage of scripture that I think really gives us some encouragement and some guidance here is in 2 Timothy, the New Testament book of 2 Timothy. For a little context here, the books of 2 Timothy were all written by the Apostle Paul, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. And Paul was imprisoned in Rome at that point in time and was really coming to grips with, this is probably going to be the end for me. That all that was going on in the persecution that they were in at that point in time, Paul was thinking, this is probably going to be the end. So in that, he writes this really, really personal letter to his protege, his mentee, Timothy. And it's a serious letter. I mean, think of a letter that you might write to your spouse or a letter that you might write to your son or your daughter, knowing that maybe your time on earth is coming to an end. That's the seriousness that we need to read this letter. And that's the seriousness because it was the seriousness for Timothy. And it's also something we need to recognize that it's seriousness for us as well. Just by simple extension, this letter from Paul to Timothy is for you and me as well. And here's what we read in 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Basically, Timothy, you got some work to get done. But I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will no longer put up with sound doctrine or truth. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itchy ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all of the duties of your ministry. That's a serious charge to Timothy. And that's a serious charge to you and me as well. So clearly, Timothy was a leader in the church. Clearly, Timothy had a ministry here. And you might be saying to yourself, whew, well, I don't have a ministry and I'm not a leader in the church. Stop right there. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you have placed your faith, your hope, and your trust in Jesus Christ, whether you are sitting in the nosebleed section of the faith or whether you are in center court or whether you're sitting here on the beach, you have a ministry. So this does apply to you as well. So in this short period of time together, what I want to do is just pull a few things out of this passage of scripture that I hope will help us better prepare ourselves for the world that we're living in and how we can be a gospel impact and influence to all of those people around us that God has placed in our circles that are not followers of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 4, 2, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. And again, so we don't get sideways here. When it says preach the word, don't get the thought of saying, well, that means I got to be a preacher and I'm not a preacher and this doesn't apply. Again, this does apply to you. But listen, we do need to know the scriptures. We need to know God's word, and the only way to do that, that only happens when we are in the word regularly. As I tell people all the time, we need to be in the word daily because we're in the world daily. The moment you're not in the world, don't have to worry about it. If you're a believer, you'll be with Jesus, don't worry about it. But as long as you are in this world daily, we need to be in the word daily. It's awesome to go to church, no matter where that may be. It's awesome to go to church, let God's word wash over us. But if we don't crack the word of God open during the course of the week, if we don't let the word wash over us, if we don't wrestle with what we're seeing in the world, in the word right now, we will not grow in our faith. We need to know the word. We need to know how to apply it. And the best way to do that is in some kind of a small group, to be with other people, to walk through the scripture together, because we can pretty much convince ourselves of anything. But when we're with other people, when we're accountable with other people, when we're taking the word and wrestling with it, that is how we grow to be in our faith right there. One of the things we also need to do is to know our grace story. Know how we came to faith in Christ, but we need to know it tethered to God's word. And I say tethered to God's word because sometimes you'll hear a grace story and the name Jesus doesn't show up anywhere. And when the name Jesus doesn't show up anywhere, it looks like you did it yourself. And trust me, you cannot save yourself. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So we have to know the word. We have to know how to apply it. We have to know how we come to faith in Christ and tether to God's word. So if you're coming to church, but you're not wrestling with the word, if you're not letting it wash over you, if you're not seeing how it applies in your life, here's what I think. I think you're setting yourself up to be deceived by Satan, and likely you might fall prey to what we read in 2 Timothy 4:4, that they will turn their ears away from truth and aside to myths because you don't have the truth built in you. We need to be in God's word. We need to let God's word be what we stand on top, but we also need to live under its authority as well. We need to be prepared to share our faith with other people because you will encounter people that want to punch holes in it. And that's where I went wrong as a young man. I grew up in a super solid Christian home, mom and dad, faithful to the word, faithful to the church, all of those things. They put some spiritual foundational bricks in my life and the lives of my sister and brother as well. So we had a solid foundation, but I didn't put the mortar in, right? Because you can stack a ton of bricks on top of one another. Without the mortar, it'll still get knocked over. So that mortar is putting it into action. That mortar is wrestling with it so it sticks together. So that is what I'm encouraging all of us to do, to make sure that we're putting the mortar in our faith. I remember it was, I was about 24, 25 years old, and I got challenged in my faith that I didn't have the mortar in. My buddy Sam was kind of challenging every single thing about the Christian faith, and I had nothing. Despite these foundational bricks that were there, no mortar, he just pushed those things over. And let me just put it this way. The best time to have an argument or a disagreement about God isn't a Friday night playing darts, drinking Jack Daniels. Okay? Not the best time. But that's what I did. I had nothing for it, and I had nothing to show. We need to make sure that we are grounded foundationally in the word and letting it live out in our lives so that we are able to actually share those things. Here's another thing I see in 2 Timothy, to correct, to rebuke, and to encourage. You ever try to have a conversation to encourage someone or rebuke someone that you don't have a relationship with? Yeah, that falls flat, doesn't it? You see, there's a relational capacity that we have to have with people. I think far too often we have relationships with people that are just built on so much superficiality, that talk about the niceties in life, which are fine, but we have to be able to take things deeper to the soul root. So that means having relationships with people which you can characterize as character building, burden sharing relationships, and not worry too much about the superficial things. Because when we have those types of relationships where we can have greater significance in the lives of people that God has brought around us, when we can have those kind of deeper conversations and talking about the meaningful things in life, people begin to see that in us. People begin to see that this person does actually care about me. And once they know that you care about them, correction and rebuke, that comes easy because they know that you're doing that from a genuine standpoint, right? And then something else I see in 2 Timothy 4:2 is to do it with great patience, but careful instruction. And here's a real critical part there. We do it with great patience and careful instruction. Some of you guys and gals out here may remember the day of the fire and brimstone person, right? The hell is hot and forever's a long time. Okay, yeah, that's true. But I don't know if that really worked to bring someone to Jesus Christ. So there was truth, but the delivery of careful instruction wasn't there. And while that may not be necessarily where we are right now, I think we are, though. Because with the proliferation, again, of internet and social media and Facebook and all of those things right there, bullhorn guy and girl has just gone social media. And it's the same thing now you hear on social media. So all of that truth with no love and a one-way rant on a Facebook post is not going to draw people to Jesus Christ. It does, and it can take time to point people to Jesus. It simply does. All of us know that. That's why relationships with people is so, so critical. It is probably way more likely that people will see Jesus in you before they hear Jesus from you. People will far likely see Jesus in you than they will before they hear Jesus from you. And while that's true, we do have to make sure that there is a sense of urgency and a sense of time to actually share the good news of the gospel with about Jesus Christ, because the obituary today is full of a ton of people who yesterday didn't think they would be in there today, but they are. So again, while people will see Jesus in you, maybe before they hear Jesus from you, we do need to get to sharing the truth of the gospel to people. So what would I say to us as believers who face things in the sign of the times that we're living in right now? Well, I would go straight to Scripture. Because I know for one thing, if I go straight to Scripture, I don't have to worry about it. I'll just do what Scripture says. And here's what we read in 1 Timothy 6:20. Timothy, or you and me, guard what has been trusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what's falsely called knowledge, in which some have professed and in doing so have departed from the faith. People, you and I have been entrusted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in this passage, we hear clearly that there will be those around us that have their itchy ears twitched a little bit, that will walk away from the faith because of what they hear. Their ears are tickled and they're deceived and they're lured away. We need to guard what has been entrusted to us, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to take to heart what Paul wrote to us in 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. You see, our culture and all that's in it's going to want to entice you. It's going to want to deceive you. But enticement and that deception will not occur when your guard is up, when you are firmly planted on the foundation of God's word, standing on its foundation, living under its authority, when you are walking and living courageously and confidently in Jesus Christ. You won't fall to the temptation. You won't fall to the deception. If you were to boil it down to what I think we need to walk away with here as it comes to being a disciple of Jesus Christ, I would put it this way. We need to, as disciples of Christ, daily follow Jesus and compel others to do the same. Daily follow Jesus and compel others to do the same. So Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, who was clearly a follower of Jesus Christ. And I've been kind of sharing a little bit about this from the perspective that everyone under the sound of my voice is the follower of Jesus Christ. But here's the deal. I know that that's not the case. It's not the case when I go to church on Sunday morning that everybody there is a follower of Jesus Christ. I don't know what brought you here this morning. Maybe you're here this morning, you said, okay, I'm going to come to Crystal Beach with my family and my friends, and they're going to make me go to church. Fine, you're here. I'm okay with that. Maybe you're here this morning because there's a hurt going on in your life. Maybe there's an addiction going on in your life, and the Lord has somehow, in the miraculous ways that he does, has moved you here today. Maybe you're just stuck. Just like this sand, maybe you're just stuck this morning and the Lord has you here. I don't know what that might be, but I do care. I care enough to know that I don't want you to leave here this morning without knowing what the truth of the gospel has to say to you. And the truth of the gospel is this, that God loves you and he's created you to be in a relationship with him. Trust me, you did not evolve from some pond scum and through 5 billion years of evolution end up here. There's a God that intentionally created you. More importantly, he created you in his image. And only a God that does something like that is a God that is relational. And that is a God that you will only find in the God of the Bible. A God that is relational. God created you to be in a relationship with him. But our sin separates us from God. That sin, that stuff that displeases God, the stuff we do, the stuff we think, the places we go, the stuff we don't say, the stuff we don't do, the places we should go, anything that displeases God is sin, and our sin separates us from God. And everybody here is a sinner, was born a sinner that way. When your kids start lying and you've never taught them, sin inside of them, right? Our sin separates us from God. And here's a news flash for you. Sin cannot be erased by doing good deeds. Right? Because in this culture, what you'll hear is, oh man, my good's going to outweigh my bad. When I hear people say that to me, and they do, Leroy, my good's going to outweigh my bad. Here's what I ask them. What's the score? No, man, if you believe your good's going to outweigh your bad, fine. What's your score? I've yet to have anybody tell me what the score is. If God wanted us to know that our good outweighed our bad and that would do it, he wouldn't have had to send Jesus, and he would have given us a way to know exactly what your good and what your bad is. But way better than that, God in his infinite wisdom, God sends his son, his sinless son, sends his son to earth to live a sinless life, to go to the cross for your sin and mine, so that whenever, and anyone, this is the exclusive part, but this is the inclusive part, that anyone that places their faith, their hope, their trust in Jesus Christ is forgiven of their sins, redeemed, restored, and reconciled to God. And that person, those people that do that, when the time comes and they are no longer here, their soul will rest in the comfort of Jesus Christ, rest in the comfort of God until their body is called up at a later point in time. And I hope when I get that new body is better than the one I woke up with today. But that is the only way that God said, don't worry about your good. I'm not worried about the good. I'm not worrying about your good, your bad. I want to make dead people alive. And we need to be alive in Jesus Christ. That is what he has given us through his son. That after Jesus was in the grave, by all accounts, it was over. But 3 days later, by the power of God and the Holy Spirit, raised Jesus Christ from the dead, proving victory over sin, victory over death, and victory over Satan. That, the Bible tells us, when you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, right? Because you can confess anything. But when you confess and believe, you will be saved. And you're going to rely on your good outweighing your bad? There's no need to do that. So, folks, what I want to do now before we close here, I just want to give you time to just ponder that. Again, I don't know what brought you here this morning. I don't know your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But if I could just ask everyone to just bow their head and close their eyes. I want to give you time to consider what it means to receive Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Because if you've already done that, awesome, rock on. But maybe pray for the folks that are beside you that are wrestling with that. That are like, is this what I want? I can't believe you'd want anything other. So pray for those folks. And if you're here this morning and you've yet to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, you'd want to know that your sins are forgiven. Your sin, your past, your present, and your future sins can be forgiven. You can be reconciled to the Father through Jesus Christ, who said it to make it perfectly clear. There isn't a million ways to God. There's a million ways to Jesus, though. And he said that, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. That is the one way. I'm so very grateful that he gave us that. Didn't give us a million, just one way. So if you're here this morning and that's the one way that you want to go, because you know the one way that you're going right now leads to death, I want you to be led to life. And it's only in Jesus Christ that that would happen. So I'm going to say just a couple words here, and there's nothing really special about the word, just about your heart and your desire for the Lord. If you would like to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior in the quietness of this moment, just say these few words. Father, I know that I'm a sinner. I know now that you have sent your son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price of sin, a price that I would never be able to pay in a million lifetimes. And Father, I choose here today to surrender my life to you, so that in surrendering my life to you, I get my life. And from this day forth, I'll live my life for Jesus Christ, who is now my Lord and my Savior. Amen. If you meant that with all of your heart, when we close here in just a moment, I would ask you to just come on over here by the rocks. We have some folks that would love to kind of just talk with you a little bit about that most important decision you have ever made. You will not make a more important decision in your life, no matter what it may be. This is the eternal decision that brings you in. So if you would like to do that, that's fine. Or maybe you've like, hey, I've already received Jesus, but I do need prayer. I heard it once said, and if you got a heartbeat, trust me, you got a problem somewhere. They'd be more than happy to spend some time in prayer with you as well. Or maybe you got a problem, you're not ready to receive the Lord, but you want someone to still pray over you. They'd be more than happy to do that. So don't leave me out doing that, folks. Tomorrow's not promised. Yesterday's gone. Today is what we got. Let's make every beat of our heart and all the breath of our lungs be for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.